Matter of fact, there's a mother who was rejected by the father of her child. And she went out into the wilderness with that little boy about ready to die. The Bible says she looked and was looking. And here's what he said. I've heard the cries of the child. The child. Wasn't that mother? We know historically speaking even to this day, she didn't do a good job training her son. But God heard the desperate cry of a child. Thank you, ma'am. Sam needs to know what we talk about. We get educated beyond it sometimes. I thank God for education, but we get educated beyond old-time religion. I think old-time religion is just people that knows what it's like to be in the presence of an almighty God. It may not manifest itself the same in different areas and whatever it be, but a true walk with God is old-time religion. I thank God for it. Thank God for it. I was talking to Pastor before service, and he asked me about mentioning a need there. And I'm very leery of making it about me. How many missionaries you support, Pastor? Six. I'd say 60. And every one of them could come and say what God's done, how He's worked. It's not about me. It's not about me. I've not done a tenth of what I should do. Haven't believed God nearly what I should have. Despite all that, He's helped us. I listened to a song just this week, and it said, I grew up in Sunday school, memorized the golden rule, knew the whole story, how the God of heaven came and died and had it all. On a daily basis, we deal with people that did not grow up that way. And I'm not a missionary to Africa. I'm not a missionary to China. God hasn't chosen me to go to the far regions of the world. If you got in your vehicle today and there were service tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you could be there, time for service. Might be a difficult drive, but you could be there in less than a day's drive. Thursday was a week ago. There's a group of guys from just down the road, a little ways here in North Carolina. There's about 18 of them. They had some teenagers come out on their spring break, and they said they were going to knock on doors and help us out. And we've started something. I think probably when I was here, I called it the Great Plains Project with Brian Coates. We've got to working back and forth, and I've been so burdened about it, just like it never took on feet. And I was like, I want to see God do something to reach these small towns. One of the greatest men of our generation, going to be the Lord now, sat down with another man, and he said, if I had to do it all over again, he said, I would evangelize small towns more. One of the greatest evangelists ever to live, D.L. Moody, somebody asked him, if he had to do it all over again, what would you do? He said, I'd try to reach children more. It's those insignificant places and insignificant people that really where God does a work many times. And big cities, big towns, and missionaries do that. They're bad about that. I've probably been just as bad, but God saw fit to take us to a place that has a lot of small towns. And there's not millions and millions of people, but if my understanding of the Scripture is right, then hell is no cooler for somebody on a ranch in the middle of South Dakota as it is in somebody in the middle of Wall Street and millions of people surrounding them. So we got a burden in our heart. And that burden was to reach into small towns. And we got talking about it a year ago. I made a commitment in front of a large congregation of people that we were going to reach every home and every town in the Great Plains. Now you go measuring that, that's a lot of place. Amen. Just in case you think I'm a big guy, you ought to see my God. He's pretty big too. And I felt like a fool almost when I stepped down from there making that commitment publicly. How in the name of sand are you going to do that? It's not in the name of sand, it's the name of God. Brother Wynn, you're a married man. Would you be happy if your wife was, I'll be really generous, 98.5% faithful to you? 99? Would you give me 99.5? No. You think God is happy with us being 99.5% obedient to Him? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Every creature. And the Lord began to allow us to do so, and we started just by faith, buying a few Bibles and putting together a few DVDs. Brother Coates recorded a 10-minute clear gospel presentation. Some of you are like me. You don't remember memorizing. You can't recall memorizing John 3:16. I cannot recall memorizing. I can remember trying to memorize the whole chapter, but I don't remember ever memorizing John 3:16. It's been a part of my life. Part of my life. But Thursday was a week ago. Some of those men, one of them, he was, even some of you probably would say, he was just as country can be. When he gave testimony of what happened last Thursday, he said, I walked up there and I beat on the screen door and she looked through the window. That was exactly what he said. Little girl, 7-8 years old. And he said, I got a Bible for you. In that packet, we call it a power pack, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Make simple people wise. I'll brag just a moment if that's all right. I enjoyed Sunday school. He says there's a lot of people who do better than him, and there may be those who may be able to articulate something, but that man's filled with the Word. I don't know him, but I'll say that. I guarantee you, the Word of God spoke through him this morning. There are people in this world that would hear you talk and they'd say, that uneducated mountain hoodger. That's what they call us, you know, from around here. But you can be more wise and more brilliant than the most advanced professor at the university down the street. That's what this book does. What this book does. So we just took God at His word and started to put it in every home and every town. And by the grace of God, we've done 26 towns since this time last year. I believe we can do 200 this year. I really do. I believe it. But he knocked on that door and that little girl came to the door and she took it. He said she left the door wide open. As he said, the screen door wide open. And he said she ran through the house and said, I've got my Bible. I got a Bible. My very own Bible. I'm not talking about Africa. I'm not talking about China. I'm talking about the United States of America. Within driving distance. He said he was walking off the porch and the mom came to the door. He said, sir, I'm sorry. I was taking a shower. He said, I hope it's okay I gave your daughter a Bible. She said, oh, that's fine. He said, do you have one? She said, no, sir. He said, you have other children? She said, there's 5 of us. He said, I had the privilege of handing that lady a Bible and her children a Bible. Just around the corner, we have some people ask us, they fuss about this one thing. What are you doing with follow-up? What church are they going to? I said, there's no church. That's why we're going there. The first time we did, there's not a Bible preaching church within 40 miles of that church, that town. I know 2 families in that town that drive 40 miles to church. We're about 52 miles from that town, but they drive 40 miles, the closest church that they can go to that has any gospel or life at all. But I have an answer for that. Had a preacher this week ask me, what are you doing about follow-up? In a real arrogant, jerky kind of attitude. I said, I don't know. Ask the Ethiopian eunuch. He might can help you. I felt like one of them preachers then, like that, you know. You don't have to preach if you can sling your hand just right. You know that's true. Some people act like that. But I did feel good when I said it. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. There was a man around the corner, just a shack of a house. Really, it was a shack of a house. Didn't even have the number on his house. They had to look to when they contacted him. His name, John Lemon. But when they contacted him, they had to look at the neighbor's house to find out what his number was. And on the mailbox, he said, "I've been diagnosed with cancer." And he said, "It made me think about death." He said, "So I went out and bought me a Bible." He said, "I've been sitting here in this living room wondering, God, would you just send somebody by to explain it to me?" God did that. This Thursday was a week ago. I received a phone call this Thursday, just the other day. Some of those, another group from over in Asheville, there's about six of them came out. And they'd done all their main areas. Well, what we're doing is doing a town and doing another town, and then they'll just ride between town and catch, they call them ranch runners, you know, catch the house. And they were about 15 miles north of DeSmet there, just running between towns. And he said, "I was taking a nap." He said, "Were you out here knocking on doors?" I said, "No, sir, but there was another group that was." I said, "He said, are they still here?" He said, "I'd like to talk to them." I said, "I can give you their phone. I can give them your phone number. They'll call you." I said, "If I can find out where they're at." They'd already made it back to Watertown, about an hour away. Well, they called him, and they called me, and he said, "He has a lot of questions." He said, "He's just not satisfied with what he's had religiously." He said, "He has a lot of questions." He said, "He thinks he'll just drive up here next Sunday morning and talk to you for a little while." I'm glad God's concerned about individuals. Not one of us got saved on a group plan. Not one of us. Got to go a long ways to get somebody in. I'll give you a testimony. I could do this all day. The other day, I was, you know, there were people like some great men from huge areas doing great works, and they were asked to give testimony, and I was too. And I'm like, I can't get up behind those guys. They said, "You got about 5 minutes, if that's all right, about 5 minutes." I said, "Yes, sir." So I can't get up behind those guys, and I got to thinking, well, how am I going to leave that out? And how am I going to leave that out? And the amazing thing is this. How many of you have never been to Watertown, South Dakota? Raise your hand. Every month you have been there investing in what God is doing, and you'll have rewards from this thing. But it's bigger than that. I came down. I wasn't going to come down 1 year to a share-a-thon and help out, but I decided last minute I'm going to try to help. Well, God is down this way for one reason, for no other reason. We went out to eat Chinese last night. I'd have been just as good to stop at the place right before there. There's a Bojangles right there. I like a Bojangles Cajun Filet biscuit with seasoned fries, extra seasoning, and a Diet Pepsi. I just like it. Well, I did that and posted the thing on social media, and a girl from that's in Wisconsin said, "What I wouldn't give for a Bojangles biscuit." Brother Wynn, this is the honest truth. I thought something in my heart said, it's not that far out of your way. If you take the northern route out there, you can just stop by and give her a biscuit. Well, I had messaged her halfway up there. I said, "What are you doing tonight about 8:30? She said, "I'll be through with my daycare." She said, "Probably just sitting down and relaxing." "Why is that?" I said, "I got a biscuit for you if you'll unlock your door about 8:30. She said, "No, you don't." I said, "Yeah, I do." She said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "This isn't about a biscuit." She said, "My husband's been asking questions about the Bible, about God. He'd been going to a modernistic church and played in the musicians and things. But he got very discontented. She was in a troubled teen home. That's where I met her. Stopped in there in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That night, that man fell on the floor, wept his way to God. I drove halfway through the night, forgot where to stop. I would have never been going through Oshkosh, Wisconsin if God hadn't moved me to Watertown, South Dakota. Got to go a long ways to get somebody in. And I think he wants to do that to many towns. That's the Bible we're giving out. Most of you wouldn't carry it to church. I wouldn't mind having one with a little larger writing, but until we can afford more, it's what we do. I need 5,000 of them. They've got them sitting in a Dollar Tree warehouse. They said, "We got 5,000 of them." And so I told Brian, I said, "We just got to pray in 5,000 of them." But You pray for us. God will help us. The amazing thing is this, is that, and the preacher asked me to say something about it. In that town, there's an old Episcopalian building, and they've got it for sale. And the Lord has brought in around $7,000 towards it, but I haven't talked to my treasurer this morning, but it's probably not much. It's right around there. A lost man owns it. A lost man owns it, and he was going to turn it into a house, but his daughter was born with a spinal cancer. When they removed the cancer, she's not mobile from her waist down. She's 5 years old, and he said it's just not feasible to make it handicap accessible. So he said, I've got to build my family a home. He said, and I can't do that in that building. Gorgeous building. I mean, these stained glass look like, I'm not being mean. You've seen it. They look like they're from the Dollar Tree compared to those in that building, don't they? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like me. It's not in bad shape. It's not terrible shape. Just needs some cosmetic work done on it, you know. I have a construction man who owns a construction business told me, said, if you acquire that building, I'll do everything I can and organize whatever it takes to get it service ready. And so that part's taken care of. I just got to get the building now. You pray. I have a young man that he and his family have surrendered to move out there to that area. I meet with a preacher Tuesday night who has another family. I've prayed for labor for a long time. I feel like they may all come at the same time. Anybody ever feel like Gideon? That's the way I felt for the last 3 or 4 years. Like everything I tried, God just take it away and just take them away and take away and take away. But Brother Greer, if we're running 150, I'd be telling people about it. But in the midst of that, he's done amazing work with nothing, with nobody. But I made a commitment to that lost man that I'd had the money by the 22nd. You can look on your calendar and figure out when that is. Friday. I fly back Wednesday, and somebody told me, said, you need to quit praying for that money. You need to pray that man gives you that building. I said, no. I said, money's nothing to God. It's just paper. I mean, it's people's lives. They trade their life off for money. But as far as God's concerned, money is nothing to him. Somebody told me I was getting ripped off. Said, it's not worth that. I said, look, for me to Jew the guy down to 25,000 rather than 40,000, I said, for a testimony's sake, that's not worth it. And I said, for me to try to get him to give me that building, I said, he needs to see a God that's able to supply. I told him, I said, I don't have a dime. I said, but if you'll give me to the 22nd, I said, we'll. So Friday, last Friday, he said, how's it going? No, Monday, week, I guess. He said, how's it going? I said, it's going great. He said, well, I just wondered if I need to go to the lawyer and sign papers because that's going to cost me a few hundred dollars. I said, you need me to send you that few hundred dollars? That's about all I had at the time. And he said, no, I'll take care of that part. He said, I just want to know it's going to go through. I said, it will. Said, it's not me. There's a God in heaven whose name is to be uplifted to a lost man dying and going to hell who has a little girl. Can you imagine that man standing up one day and saying, God gave my daughter cancer so I could make this into a house, so it could be a church, a light. Now, you've heard of DeSmet, South Dakota, and you don't know. Anybody know what DeSmet's about? You know it. You've heard of Little House on the Prairie. That's where the house that Pa built is. That's where the family ended. They're buried right there. Now, I'm not. I'm dreaming that the greatest thing that's ever happened to DeSmet, South Dakota, at Laringles Wilder and Little House on the Prairie series. I'm praying for a great awakening to shake the Great Plains. They don't need revival. You need revival. They don't need revival. They've never seen it. We've said, God, do it again. They've never seen it the first time. That's the first time. Would you pray with me? If you pray, that's all I believe with all of my heart. If I get on that plane and don't have a penny more come Wednesday, I believe I'll be able to call that man Friday just because God showed up. If God's people will pray. God's people pray. Amen. God's been good to us. We don't know what we have. I sang that song that I did just a moment ago because I had a grandma. About right over there where you are, ma'am, on that third row back. She wouldn't ever come up here and sing. She'd stand up when she felt it getting a little cold and indifferent. They were in the upper chamber. They were all in one accord. And somehow, some way, the God that she'd been talking to all week decided to listen to her because she was talking to him that morning. And he'd show up in that service. He'd show up in that building. That's all I need. I just need him to show up. Can you take a little journey with me? It won't be a long journey. But take a little journey. Turn with me if you would. I just think this will. You pray, though, God to do that work. I appreciate your pastor while you're turning there. Psalm 78. I appreciate your pastor. He's helped me more than you'll ever know. He's on that series about prayer, and it just tearing me up. I thought I could read about prayer, listen to him, so I just listened to him. No, but he's helped me a lot. He has. Except when he got off on that physical health stuff, that didn't help me too much. It's been a help to me. We play every Saturday at noon. People know your name out there. They listen, they get something, they do. And God's been good to us. I never dreamed, preacher, that I could say something like this. I used to struggle and pray. And I'd be going down into Mexico with M.R. Grimmett, and I'd pray for the smallest things, and I still do. I mean this. I never thought I'd get to the point in ministry where I could say this. If God gave me $1 million tomorrow, I could invest every penny wisely into the gospel's sake. Every town we've knocked on in that area needs to have the gospel. For about $250,000, we could have our radio station reaching every one of them. That's not even possible here because it's all packed with radio stations. But it's possible out there. It's wide open. We could do that. That sounds like a lot of money, but some of you probably have homes that are worth more than that for four people. That whole area, region, hundreds of thousands of square miles could be reached like that. Could buy Bibles and gospel packets to reach those areas. I did have one thing hit me this week as you're turning there. My mom and dad are here. I never had the privilege of getting up and making that phone call. Guess what? You're going to be grandparents. God's never given us children. We have a young lady that lives with us, and I don't think anybody could love her more than if she was ours. She never had a daddy. Just told that she was a drunken mistake. God put her in our home, and I couldn't love her more if she was my own. We've had 7 teenagers live with us. How God chose that, I don't know. He just did. If we had kids, it probably wouldn't have happened. So we've just tried to love on ever who God brought our way. But I called my wife this week. I said, I never got on Facebook and got to say, I'm going to be a daddy. I said, I never got on Twitter and tweeted, we're going to be parents. I said, but do you realize after next Friday, we'll be able to say, we're going to have a baby. Eight years ago, next month, we moved to Watertown, South Dakota, and just us and another family sitting on their couch. And after next Friday, we didn't plan it. We can't afford it. Our church not even paid for its building that it has. All these things. Whoever you planned out to have a baby to, you could afford it. You wouldn't have one. But God says, that church's going to have a baby. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What a God we serve. What a God. We serve a great God. Just a little journey, if you would. I don't know what little babies understand and comprehend. But nearly 43 years ago, as a one-year-old baby, I sat or laid in my mother's arms in a church that was jam-packed, and Holy Ghost revival breath was on that congregation of believers. Man of God had been up in the prayer room feeling empty, without anything. And he prayed and said, God, he said, I don't have anything. Just a thought. God moved in the singing. Nothing spectacular, overwhelmingly, if you listen to the recording. It was good, as it always was. But in that service, he read this verse. In verse number 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? As a one-year-old baby, I laid in the arms of that lady right there. I don't know that I comprehended it. I don't know that I understood it. But as I was there, that man of God stood and preached with Holy Ghost anointing and power. You say what you want to. I heard somebody say yesterday, said whenever you get up and preach the Word of God, you got God's anointing on it. That's a lie out of hell. There's something about being alone with God. Something about Him touching you. Something about transforming your words into His words. Your voice into His voice. Your power into His power. There's some transforming power about whom God chooses. God's Word is powerful. But He has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. That man stood and he said, the world says old time religion is dead. Can God? And he said, we fundamentalists go to bed at night saying, God can, God can, God can. Old time religion is not dead. And I found out we don't stay still in our journey. I don't think there's anything wrong with still claiming to be a fundamentalist. We hold to the fundamentals of truth that have been passed down throughout the ages. I feel though we've progressed, or maybe progress. We've moved, would be the word, from that verse to another. Look with me in verse 41. You say, why go to South Dakota? Why stick your neck out for $40,000 that you don't have? Why start a radio station that you can't, somebody else started it. I've gotten in trouble for saying we start. The Lord gave us that station. Somebody said, I thought you had to buy it. We did. We didn't have any money before we started, didn't have money after it's over, so God gave it to us. Why sacrifice? Why get away? Why do that? I have an all-consuming fear, my soul, of ending up in 1 Samuel 41. It don't matter if you throw me in the river when I'm done. Throw me in the ocean and let them eat me. I don't mind. It don't bother me. It don't matter to me. But please, to God, I don't want written on my tombstone. The verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And I have it underlined in my Bible. And limited the Holy One of Israel. You're going to make a fool of yourself. God's not going to come through. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll not limit Him. God be my helper. What if they don't believe? If they don't believe, it won't be my fault. I'm going to do my best to tell them. What if it don't happen? If it don't happen, it won't be because I didn't try. If God can do something, I don't want to be because I hindered Him. Because I hindered Him. Is this all God wants? Can He do more? Will He? If not, I don't want to be because of my unbelief. I don't want to be because of my unbelief. Amen. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. But you could be the very best, most productive, most efficient mom that has ever walked planet Earth. And when you die, your children say, I could have known more. She fed me the Word. She prayed over me. She labored in God's presence on my behalf. She didn't limit what God could do through her as a mom. She didn't limit what God did through me as a husband. He didn't limit what God did through me as a dad. I didn't limit what God could do through me as a machinist. I didn't limit what God could do through me as a farmer. I didn't limit what God could do through me as a cashier. I did not limit God. The tombstone of Israel will be, I wanted to do more, but they limited the God of Israel. Oh, what will be is not scriptural. It's not scriptural. They didn't listen to, you can read this first part of this chapter. You can apply yourself and read that. Would you do that when you go home? He says, give ear to, oh, my people, to my law. They didn't listen to the precepts of God. They didn't listen to truths. Every single mistake, may I be more clear, every single sin they committed, he warned them about that. David would not have fallen. Solomon would not have been consumed if he had read what the scriptures told him to do. He warned them about taking multiple wives. He warned them about following after other gods. He warned them. And if you get into sin, you'll walk across the precepts that are in these 1,189 chapters. You'll walk across the warnings of God's Word. If you drive down this highway and there's a bridge and there's signs coming 2.5 mile bridge out, 2 mile bridge out, 1.5 mile bridge out, 750 feet bridge out, and there's a big barrier bridge out, and you go off to your death, you cannot blame the road department. You cannot blame the department of roads, and you cannot blame them. Not blame them. God gave us His eternal, inspired Word. And everything you face in life, I promise you, everything, we're no new area. It's just made known. It's terrible what's going on in our day and hour, but I promise you, the answer is in God's Word. I'll say this, God helped me from that message, that lesson this morning, and how God has authority over the Sabbath and how God has authority over sickness. But here's the truth about it. His almighty power didn't keep him out of the presence of his Father. The very next thing he did was spend all night in prayer after manifesting his power over everything. You say, I've got the Word of God. You say, I've got the authority over this, that, and the other. If it keeps you out of the presence of Almighty God, it's not of Him. And if Jesus Christ thought it necessary to spend all night in prayer, may God help us that we would get back to that. They didn't listen to his precepts. They were slack and they even lax in passing it on to the next generation. It would be a good thing to get somebody up here and just tell about what God has done. Matter of fact, when they come out of the water, they set up 12 stones. He said, one of these days your children are going to pass by this way. You're going to tell them what I did. The problem is we've got stones that tells what everybody else did and what all this happened. We've got ministries named after everybody else and nobody knows what God did. These walls didn't come up just by somebody donating some money. The necessity of the size of this building wasn't just because that the community grew. There's somebody when God showed up on this hill. You know, some of you know the story. You ought to tell it to your children and to your children's children. Let them know that's why we're here today. That's why we worship on Sunday. That's why we do sing these songs. That's why we use that book. That's why we use that Bible. They were lax in that and they lost it. And they lost it. I sat with a man of God this week and heard him tell of one of the largest, most outgoing, soul-winning churches that have ever been in the United States of America. I've sat with my dad in that building and felt God. I wrote a letter to one of the youth directors one time and said, please quit emailing me. I said, I don't want to hear the way you're going. This is before they publicly went this way and away. And they went a way that was not acceptable, I don't think, to the Scripture, and it's proved itself to be true. And I said, please quit. I said, because that's where I was introduced to old-time religion. It's where I saw men stand with the anointing hand of God on their life. I remember going and getting a little pen, and I got it out there. It had a whole bunch of people that were doing things. I got one, and it had a sword on it, and I got it, and I put it on my one of the first suits I ever wore, and I put it there. I was so happy to get that. They started going another way, and he said he sat with the pastor of that church, and he told him, he said, if we don't work at this and labor at this. He said, everything you see will be gone one day. The truth is that church is gone, that university is gone, everything is gone. You say, which one was it? Out of respect to the man of God, I don't mention it. The truth is there could come a day, one day, we've heard it preached, the very thing could happen on this hill if we get lax in passing it on to another generation. Another generation. You know what it led to? You know what it led to? It led to their loose, wicked practices. He says it there. You be as your forefathers who are stubborn, verse number 8. Rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. You know why? And we here in North Carolina are battling stuff that should not even be thought about. Please forgive me if this is wrong, but I don't think it is. It should not even be a thought to which bathroom you go to. I'll just be very plain for just a moment. I'm bad about that. You're crippled too high for crutches if you don't know which bathroom to go to. You're dumber than a box of rocks if you don't know which bathroom to go to. If you don't let your children use this word, it might be good for you to start letting them use them during this day and hour. You're stupid if you don't know what bathroom to go to. That's dumb. And yet we're facing that. You know why? Because there was a day when God sat down in Asheville, North Carolina. There was a day when God sat down in Boone, North Carolina. And we were not steadfast after the law of our Lord. Well, they're not going to come if we have that, if we stand that strong. They're not going to get involved. Man was never our goal anyway. God's our goal. We missed Him. And we have the loosest living society since Sodom and Gomorrah. Can God? He can. But I feel that we have limited Him. We have limited Him. We have limited Him. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. May He deeply work in our hearts. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. When I say I have a fear, it's a godly reverence of Him that I don't want for somebody to say. There's a boy moved out here to South Dakota and just didn't make it. Yeah, he tried. His God wasn't big enough. I don't want to limit what God can do in and through me. I'm nothing. I was teasing about my size and teasing about those things. Yeah, it should be some tall, skinny Yankee that's going, but it's not. It should be somebody more eloquent and somebody more influential and somebody maybe even more fervent than I. But God never has made something out of something. He's always taken nothing and made something out of it. I used to say it. Well, if God can, look, you know, try to encourage people. Look around you. See all of this that God made? And if you live here and don't notice it, you need to pay attention where you live. Amazing. I forget how gorgeous these mountains are sometimes. Those streams that you drive by every day. There's places in the world that don't have that. The heavens declare, you should be worshiping Him more than anybody in the world. You see His work, His majesty. He just scooped them out. Where does He? I think I want one there. Yep, right there. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to call that grandfather one day. He didn't have Tourette's or anything. He just thought it looked good like that. God help us. And I'll tell him, you know, look, all this, if God can do this out of nothing, don't you think He can do something with your something? No, He can't. You must become nothing. He's never created anything from something. He's created out of nothing. I don't feel worthy at all. I'd crawl under this. this pulpit here. I don't feel worthy at all. 60 missionaries. Have them all come. More worthy. God takes a nothing sometimes. Make something out of it. He said, oh, you're just saying that. No, one of the godliest ladies I ever met was nearing death's door. I thought I'd call her. I've called her 1,000 times, asked her to pray. I thought I'd call her another time and just talk to her and tell her what God had done. This is about 4 years ago, just recently. I said, Mom, I just want to tell you that God just brought in that $40,000 we needed for that radio station. We're going to be going on the air in a few months, and I just want to thank you for praying. One of the godliest ladies that I ever met in my life said this, out of all my grandchildren that I thought would not ever do anything. Somebody said, that's awful discouraging. I said, oh no, you didn't hear the rest of the sentence. She said, out of all my grandchildren that I thought would not do anything, she said, look what God has done. See, I was one of those that just like to goof off, and you don't know how many jokes I've not told this morning. I had to fight myself with that. Especially with people like Sheila and Mary that I met. I mean, they just are, I'll be praying for you people. No, but seriously, but I love to joke, love to have fun. I love it. I did in school. I wasn't dumb or couldn't learn. I just rather laugh than learn. I didn't mind school. It was those tests and exams and things that I didn't like. I enjoy being there and entertaining people. I still do. Don't get me started or I won't stop. I love it. I walked up to a table at a college this week. There's a boy there and he had one of them weird looking haircuts. I guarantee it won't be weird looking next week. He'll get it cut. I went on for 20 minutes to that boy. He'd say something. I had the time of my life picking on him, having a fun time. You know, I love it. And so they thought, I got sisters that made straight A's. I didn't even know they gave A's out in school. Brother Greer, 7 children. And the one who almost didn't finish, this is God, is the only one who went to college. College isn't everything. It's where God took me. And He took me further. I need to apply myself further. I don't want to limit what God can do tomorrow by my laziness today. God took the least of the least to the worst of the worst. I stood beside a guy this past week, was in another class of mine. I said, you remember all them boys we thought just were going to set the fields on fire and do something? They're off with somebody else's wife now. They're laying out, they're selling cars now. They're doing something else. And I said, here I was, barely. Somebody said, why didn't you quit college? Because I didn't have anywhere to go. My mom and dad up and moved away. Went on the mission field. Everybody in school were like, I can't wait till I get 18. I'm moving out. I said, you're not smart. I may not have been the smart. You're not smart. My mom and dad pay my bills. They feed me. They supply me a car. I'm not moving out. Senior in high school, we're going to leave you. Go on the mission field. I said, no, you're not. I'm going to beat you there. I don't want to limit what God can do. How old are you, sir? 81. You're living on borrowed time. Span of a man's life, 70 years by way of strength, 80 years. But God still has something to do with your next breath. And you could die saying, I didn't limit what God did in my 81st year of life, in my 82nd year if He allows you to live. Ma'am, God still has something to do. Don't limit and think your life is over because you're past 50. You understand what I'm saying? These little children, keep them under the anointing hand of God. Because it may be one day they'll say, my mom and dad told me about a service. I didn't comprehend everything in that service because I was only one. But I've listened to that sermon, that message, probably, I don't want to exaggerate, but at least 50 times. I was painting, you're talking about messing you up. If you never heard that message by Dr. Seidler on Can God, find it. It's on YouTube. Listen to the whole thing. I was painting the walls of that building where God's given us. There was paint going everywhere. It'll make you want to tear something down, build something up, do something. Still got God's hand on it. It wasn't just a message. It wasn't just a well-articulated, put-together sermon. Anointing, hand of God upon it. Would you bow your heads for just a moment?